Good morning, everybody. Welcome to cloudy South Carolina. I don't mind the clouds. I wanted to turn over to Romans. I'm going to read a good bit today. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 13. A couple of things that I wanted to draw out. Well, there's a lot here, but I wanted to touch upon a few of the things. Romans chapter 1, verse 13 is where I'm starting. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them that, oh, let me start seven again, to them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Now that section of Scripture, if you look out in society today, isn't that what we see? We see folks calling good bad. We see men and women doing things that are unseemly. We see, just every wretched thing that God hates. But we don't see many people actually doing right. If people that called themselves Christians actually did what was right, then the people that are doing wrong would have an opportunity to realize it. They'd have an opportunity to turn. I'm going to flip over to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at 7. Now this is about, in 6 he's talking about communication. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And that communicate there, I believe, is monetary. It's tithing and stuff. But I want to look at it from a different perspective. 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, being a Christian isn't showing up to service on Sunday. Being a Christian is being a Christian every day, every minute of every day, right? It's not, okay, well, I went to service Sunday. Okay, Monday, sow to the flesh. Tuesday, do what I want, sow to the flesh. Wednesday, what can I do to make me feel good? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Sunday, oh Lord, please, basically what I'm getting at is, sow to the flesh, sow to the flesh, Sunday. Lord, I'd like a crop failure of all the things that I've sown. You see what I'm saying? Because if we're sowing consistently to the flesh, we're going to reap what we sow. Right? If we're sowing those things that are over there in Romans, that's what we're going to be reaping. Now, if we're sowing the things of God, if we're sowing His gospel, if we're walking the way that He would have us walk, then the fruit will be different. If you're not seeing that fruit, you are doing it wrong. You are sowing to the flesh. You want to see that fruit of God? You want to see God's love? You want to see His power? Obey. Believe. Faith. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? The relationships we have with other people are very important. but the relationship that each and every one of us have with God is the most important. And if you can get that relationship straight, if you can point yourself at God, take His commands, obey what He says, then the rest will work itself out.
Good morning, everybody. And that is, you know, just that little, that last part you left on there, Scott, was relationships with other people. I mean, first, if you don't have that relationship right with the Lord first, the rest is not going to work itself out. The rest is not, it's going to be in vain. It's not going to be any good at all, really. I mean, because what is that that you're seeking to do? I mean, it's love God, love one another. You love God first. Okay, so how many times have we talked about, Lord, or where David, I mean, hear David talk about, Lord, pour it in so I can pour it out. Lord, pour in your love so I can pour it out. First, I have to be able to receive that which is good from the Lord. That I can give that which the Lord has given me out to others. Because anything other than that is not going to benefit them at all. It's not going to benefit them one bit at all. That's only that which comes from above that you hand out. That will benefit them at all. And that comes from the Lord. Amen. So I was, You know, I think we might turn to Hebrews. Here a little bit. Go to Hebrews 4. And one of the things I was kind of talking about that is really, I mean, what you see is the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea in action there. But I'm going to change it here a little bit. It says in Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know what He's referring to there is He's referring to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, that first generation, didn't enter into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. Alright, I mean, not only did they not believe the Lord in that which the Lord had promised unto Abraham and Abraham in giving that land and giving it to them. But did they not just not believe that, but they actually went against it. I think they went to turn to go stone Joshua and Caleb because of the report of them saying, it's ours for the taking. And they're like, no, you're setting us up so we go out there and we're going to die. But how many of us still operate like that in situations that come our way? I mean, see, we're in no different boat, folks. We have the Scripture. We have where you see the men of faith that stepped out in faith and stepped out in faith and how the Lord showed up and the Lord showed up and the Lord showed up. What is that there for us to do? To take, receive that, hear it, and believe it. I mean, we were talking about just being a hearer, I think last week, just being a hearer and not a doer. I mean, what does that profit you at all if you just hear the word and you don't go and do it? You don't go and do it. It doesn't profit you at all. In fact, it can hurt you. But it's not there to hurt you. It's there so that you can walk forward in the Lord and what He has for you. To walk in that abundantly above, we can ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly, we can above ask or think. That's what it's there for. And the Lord has showed us, just like He showed the children of Israel, time and time again, that He's there. That we can trust Him. That He loves us. And we can count on Him. We can count on Him. Hasn't He shown every single one of us that? Every single one of us. That. So we have that choice. Every day. We have that opportunity. Every day to go walk in that which the Lord has for us. You know, I was looking, I was talking with my children the other night, and we're kind of going over Joshua there. And there's some cool things. I mean, the Lord shows up. And then I take a look at our life and my family and what the Lord has done. And the Lord showed up and the Lord showed up and the Lord showed up. And I was thinking, praise the Lord. You read Psalms. Crying out to the Lord. The Lord will hear you. He'll hear you in the day of trouble. You know, time and time again. But see, when we get in those situations, when we go forward throughout our day, do we believe that? Do we actually act in that? And see, you know what's the kind of the cool thing about those situations that show up? Whatever the case may be, whatever the situation that so shows up, the cool thing is that it gives us opportunity to yet believe Him in the midst. To practice our faith and to put our trust in Him. We sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. What does Paul say about it in Romans? That what? He glories in tribulation. Because His confidence lies in what the Lord has done for Him and what the Lord can perform. Not in Himself. So that leaves all of us inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. To go and walk that out. The reason being is because it's not about you. It's not about your ability. It's not about your strength. It's not about your righteousness. It's all about Him. His righteousness. His strength. What He is able to do. And if we trust in anything other than that, it's going to leave us empty, disappointed, absolutely. But the Lord does not disappoint. He shows up. He shows up. And I don't care how you've been. If you've been those children of Israel walking in unbelief, if you've been that which has been swallowed up by a situation, if you've been that that's been trusting in the wrong thing, I don't care. You can turn right now. Repent of the things you've been doing and go put your trust in Him and turn your eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch Him move. And you know what happens? When you repent of those things and He says, I've forgiven those things, they're gone. They're not held against you anymore. Lord, do you remember this? No, I don't. No, I don't. Move forward in me and what I have done in the gospel that I have given you. And the freedom that I have given you. You know, I'm sitting here saying I don't care. That doesn't matter if I care or not. What matters if He cares or not, and I'm telling you right now, He doesn't care. When you turn unto Him, He rejoices. Don't care where you've been at before then. How much you walked in unbelief. All those things are gone. All those things are washed away. All of them. All of them. All of them. And he says, take my hand. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You put your faith back where it's supposed to be. And that pleases Him. That pleases Him. What does it say? What does Scripture say? I'm thinking of it. Somebody help me out. Is it impossible to... Yeah, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise God. But it's time, folks. It's time. I don't want any of us to seem to come short of it. Not a one here. Not a one that we minister unto. Not a one that we come in contact with. And if you want those that we come in contact with to have that opportunity, start walking in that faith yourself. Be instant in season and out of season. Putting your confidence and your trust in Him. It will be seen that God may be glorified. And that His gospel may be manifest. And when I'm talking about turning unto Him, guess what happens? The gospel becomes manifest. And it shows how good and righteous He is. So let's not be like that first generation. Let's not listen to that old man anymore. Let's put that flesh down. And let's walk in the newness of life that He's given us. That new man that He's given us. That says, yea and amen, and God is good. And He is able. Let's grab onto that. And let's start moving forward in that. As Joshua and Caleb did. Amen?
You know, when you hear the truth of that word, it's a shame. As you look out across the land today, a little parenthetical insertion here. I have to remember what the thought was. We've learned a lot about the nation of Israel and their failure to grasp that which God had for them, the promised land. And there's, of course, doctrinal errors that we could address. Excuse me, by the... Churches through the ages have had their consequences. As I look out and survey the landscape today, I see those who bear the name, call themselves Christians. Who more closely resemble Israel than they do the disciples of Jesus or his apostles and their disciples. The evidence of their faith and their commitment to the Lord is more similar in nature to the conditionalness of the children of Israel in the desert. Got everything you need? Yeah, well, we don't like this anymore. I'm with you all the time. Nothing's getting old. Nothing wearing out. We like it better in Egypt. The people who have not really settled on what lordship means keep really running afoul of the intent of the first commandment. And when Jesus sums up the commandments, and he sums them up in twos, love God and love one another, that's still too much for them. That's what you have going on here in Romans 1. Romans 1 is an indictment of those who claim to know who God is and what he requires. The testimony here is because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth. Not doing anything with it. Didn't change them at all. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. This is the same things that were going on with the Pharisees. They knew who Jesus was. Jesus came to set the captives free. They weren't interested in setting people free. They knew what they wanted, their knowledge in their little box, and they could keep it right here next to them. But they can be special. They didn't give a crap about the people. What a testimony against them. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. And everything else that comes down the line that Scott read here is about what it looks like when you reject the knowledge of God. Knowing him to be God, you honor him not as God. Pharisees, knowing who Jesus was, honored him not. For the Lord and Savior that he was. It didn't work out well for them either. The testimony of the truth goes against both those who are believers and those who are unbelievers, even-handedly. The difference is believers know what to do about that testimony. They know how to change it, supposedly. How to respond to it. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's how you respond to it. You don't walk away feeling all puffed up about how special you are. And in a culture now where we celebrate the ignorance of rebellion and revolution from the precepts of Scripture and the knowledge of God. sadly today in the churches, we have a church culture that can't distinguish the difference. And they keep buying into whatever is currently pop. And molding and conforming themselves to the world rather than to the Word. I'm hoping for better things for us. I'm done.